Jesus said when he was on earth, the well, they don't need a physician. It's those that recognize that they have needs. And if you have needs tonight, you're glad to hear songs like that because you know we do have a physician. Amen. One that can help. Appreciate your faithfulness this midweek service. We were slated to be gone, and so glad that we have folks here that can help, and we're gone, and we already had some different ones scheduled to fill in for us, and we're so thankful for the crews. They've been such a blessing to our church. Their faithfulness alone just means a tremendous amount to this pastor. Brother Cruz is coming to share the word tonight. Let's just get behind him and just let the Lord touch our hearts in a special way.
Thank you, Brother Hurst. As I say, we thank you also for allowing us to be part of your church. Amen. Actually, we may not be officially members yet, but we are here. Amen. And if we're not here, we're somewhere preaching, unless our plumbing's acting up. But we appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that's here tonight. Amen. I don't know how you feel, but my heart's kind of heavy tonight for how this world, the shape the world is in. And I know it's just a part of the Bible being fulfilled. There's a song that goes like, "This whole world is in trouble, Lord. We really do need you." Amen. And I listened as I was talking about a remedy. The remedy is, "Even though, come, Lord, quickly." Amen. I just don't understand the way things are happening, the Ebola, the AIDS, the ISIS situation, and all this stuff that's going on. But I know it's the Bible being fulfilled. And I got to thinking about this sister that is in the church where her daughter has the cancer. Young people, you ought to be very appreciative of what you are tonight. Amen. How you are tonight, the shape that you're in. Amen. Even though we don't know, there may be something in our body that we don't know about. But we're able to be here tonight. We're able to do things. Amen. And most of all, we're saved. We know God. Amen. I thought tonight, just give me a few minutes to get these old glasses. I found out I'm getting older and older because I can't see. We bought a TV last night for Charlie and went over there to try to set it up, and I didn't take my glasses. Mistake. Amen. I don't know. I just can't see. But I'm so grateful for what the Lord can do if we just allow him to do it. Amen. I'd like to preach tonight with the help of the Holy Ghost, and I try not to hold you long on a title I thought of when we was doing our Sunday school lessons a while back about Joseph, and that's what I'm going to talk about. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 first. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, and then we'll get into our message. But let me tell you what the title is tonight. From Pit to Palace. From Pit to Palace. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And then also we're going to Psalms 40 and 2. And then I'll get into my message. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but as such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to" what? "To escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And now let's go to Psalms 40 in verse 2. Well, actually, let me read first 1, 2 as well. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he did" what? "Heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." You may be seated tonight. And if you want to follow along in my message, and I'm going to Genesis. Again, we all know the story of Joseph. But I like to kind of put it in a different aspect. You know, Joseph was a righteous man. Almost like Christ, but not quite as good as Christ. Amen. You know what I'm saying? His people betrayed him like Christ's people betrayed him. Took him and throwed him in a pit. Of course, Christ, you know the story of Christ, and you know the story of Moses or Joseph. But let me read something that I ran across today in my studies, and it's pretty interesting. Amen. And it should help us to know where we are today. It says, I found this in one of my inspirational books. A man once found a cocoon of an emperor moth and kept it with the purpose of watching the beautiful creature emerge. Finally, the day came, and it began to struggle through the small opening at one end of the cocoon. The struggle continued for hours, but the moth could not never force its body beyond a certain point. Finally, believing that something was wrong and that the opening should have been larger, the man took a pair of scissors and carefully clipped the restraining threads. Hang with me. If I can get this crazy thing. There we go. The moth emerged easily and crawled out into the windowsill. Its body was large and swollen, its wings small and shriveled. He supposed that in a few hours, the wings would develop into beautiful objects that he had expected, but it did not happen. The moth that should have been a thing of great beauty, free to float and fly, spent its short life dragging around the swollen body and shriveled wings. The constricting threads and the struggle necessary to pass through the tiny opening had been God's method of forcing fluids from the body into the wings. The meaningful snip of the threads was the most crucial thing possible. Often God lets us struggle rather than snipping or slipping in life a big, stepping in life a big brother to do our fighting for us. No doubt he could make it all so easy and every moment of life so present. But as we struggle, becoming exhausted, almost beyond endurance, changes occur in us which could not happen otherwise. The floods expand our wings, and in time we can fly. Cut the struggle short at some crucial point, and we are crippled forever until God gives us another opportunity for struggle that will do what the first aborted struggle should have been allowed to do. In other words, we're going through these things because I believe God sometimes wants us to go through these things. And we pray so many times, and rightly so, Lord, move this mountain. Lord, move this mountain. It's so easy to pray that prayer, but why not say, Lord, don't move the mountain, but either give me the strength to go through it or go around it or go over it. Well, we want an easy way out. And I'm sure Joseph would have loved to have an easy way out. Well, let's just read the story, okay? Can we read the story of Joseph? For just bear with me for a few minutes, if you will. Genesis 37 and 24. Again, I want you to liken this, not like Joseph, but as your spiritual life. You once was in a pit. And Jeremiah, didn't Jeremiah get thrown in a pit as well? And he sank down into the mire? You were once in a pit, as Joseph was in this pit. 37 and 24 says, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And you know, I could get several messages out of my message tonight, but I thought they throwed him in the pit, and there was no water in it. Jesus told him, the lady at the well, if you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. You was in a pit. There was no water. There was no way to get out. You needed somebody to rescue you. Listen to me tonight, church. Not only church, but young people, especially you young ones, listen to me. We're living in a sin-sick world. We're living in a world that needs help. And what are we going to do? What are we doing with the time that we have left? Think about each and every one of us, older folks. What are we doing with the time that we have left? And our time may be more limited than their time. So we was in a pit, was we not? Let me go to 28, verse 28.
And that not only was he in a pit, and you know, they helped him. Well, let me go on. And then there passed by many knights, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, I can just imagine Joseph here for just a little bit of time in the pit, and all of a sudden, hey, they're helping me out. I'm out of the pit now. I'm saved now. I'm doing okay now. Only to find out, what, that he was being sold into the slavery, into Egypt, not let alone just slavery, you know. We sing that song the other day, I'm living in Canaan now, Egypt behind, cross over Jordan wide, gladness to find, amen. I was in the pit, now I'm not in the pit. Hey, I'm living in Canaan now, and here comes the devil, amen. Now he's trying to take me back over to Egypt, amen. I don't know about you, church, but I don't want to go back to Egypt, amen. I want to stay in the land where the milk and honey flows, amen. I ain't made it to the palace yet, and I'm just now getting out of the pit, but can I tell you, I'm on my way to the palace, amen. Verse 36, after a while, we might get excited about what we have, amen. And then the Midianites sold him to Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of guard. Again, sold him in slavery. They took him and sold him to a Potiphar over in Egypt. What is your Egypt tonight, amen? Now let's go to chapter 39. Verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake, and this is what I just read 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 about being tempted, did I not? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Remember, all this started when Joseph was how old? 17. 17, amen. And I just read that you will not, if a temptation come, that God will give you the ability to overcome the temptation. Amen. You don't have to be in the place that you're in. I'm telling you, Sister Rose, we can go higher, amen. I tell you, once we get tired of living in the pit, amen, we may want to go to the palace, amen. I tell you, the world that we're living in is sin. Sin-sick world, amen. People need God, amen. I thought, Brother Hurst, that we would pray like we used to pray. If we'd go to the house of God like we used to go to the house of God, I believe we would see more done. But I really believe it boils down that we're living in the last days. And can I tell you, church, we better do what we can while we got time to do it, amen. What would you do, young folks, if that cancer came up on you? And you couldn't do nothing but lay around. Oh, I would that I have done what God had told me to do when he told me to do it. After a while, we'll get out of this pit that we're living in, amen. Let me go to verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which of Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head. That ain't where I wanted to go. Hold on. 41 and 20, maybe. Let me see. Hold on. 39. Okay. I jumped over too far. Here we go. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now here he was in the pit, got out of the pit, got saved, got put back in prison, going through a trial, going through a temptation. Now he's back in prison. See, that's what the devil likes to do to us, folks. He likes to get us and put us into prison. He likes to get us and get us down. Amen. I was reading something. Well, let me just read it. I copied this out today too. Listen to this, and then we'll go on, okay? Just bear with me. We'll get where we're going after a while if you just hang with me. This story is told of a man who was drafted in the armed forces. Wherever he went, he would he would stoop to pick up any piece of paper which was on the ground. And every time he picked up a piece of paper, he would look at it, shake his head no, and then throw it away. It didn't take long for his superior to become aware of his actions and determine to find the underlying cause. Finally, in desperation, they granted him a medical discharge. The soldier was summoned to the office of his superior officer and was handed the official form which granted his release. Looking carefully, and I remember he always grabbed a piece of paper and throwed it down. Looking carefully at it, he exclaimed, "This is it. This is what I've been looking for." Many of us are like that soldier in that we go through life waiting for one big break that will turn our life around. And that will give us riches and fame and prosperity and power. And that's what we are in the world. We're looking for that thing that'll put us over the top. Amen. Well, let's quit looking for that and let's be satisfied with what God gave us. Amen. Brother Hurst, I don't have much money. I probably would if I didn't have them vehicles. But I'm telling you, I'm happy with what I got. I'm blessed to be in the situation that I'm in. Amen. I don't want the world's riches. I don't want the world's fame. I don't want the world's fame. What I want is more of God and less of the world. I want more of the Holy Ghost to shine through me. You know what? I get a joy out of going to the house of God. I no longer do the things of the world. I get a joy of praising him and worshiping him. It's fun to go to the house of God. Amen. Listen, many of us are like that soldier. We go through life waiting for the big break that will turn our life around, that will give us riches, fame, prosperity, and power. For some, that break is thought to come from Wall Street. Wall Street will crash. You see, it's going down now. And it will be written in the Dow Jones averages. For others, the lucky break is expected to come in Nashville, Hollywood, or Las Vegas. Most of us tend to think our success as coming from some life-changing, momentous event. Can I tell you, it's true. There is a momentous event about to take effect. Amen. And that is Jesus Christ coming back after his children. Amen. I'm glad for the desire that he's put in my life to go to the house of God. I'm glad, Sister Rose, that he saved me a long time ago, separated me from the world. Amen. I like Joseph. I was in the pit. Amen. And like I said, I ain't made it to the palace. Joseph made it to the palace. Amen. But can I tell you, I'm on my way to the palace. Amen. I got royal blood that's flowing through me. Can I tell you, young people, if it's ever a time you get a desire in your heart to go to the house of God, amen, it's the day and time which we are living now, amen. Here she is, 17 years old, had to rule of Potiphar's house. Here's the devil. I got you now. I'm going to get you. He lay a trap for us, young folks. He's got a trap laid for each and every one of you. Amen. He ain't going to try to get you like he's going to get Brother Hurst. He ain't going to try to get you like he's going to get Sister Rose. He's going to come after you with enticing words, amen, with enticing ways of the world. Amen. That's why I said we need to get on fire for God. And the Bible says draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, amen. Hello. Come on. Get with me on this, church. Praise the Lord. All right, let me go to 41 now. We know how the story ends, do we not? Huh? And I don't understand this, Brother Hurst, how Joseph's brothers, I realize there was a time elapsed through this and we changed, but to the point where our family won't know us? I don't understand how his family didn't recognize it or know that some, maybe his voice, I don't know, maybe because he lived with Potiphar and in prison, his voice maybe changed a little bit. Amen. I don't know. I don't understand how the disciples didn't recognize Jesus when he came back. I mean, here they walk with him and talk with him, and yet they didn't recognize him until, what was it, Thomas said, except I see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. We haven't seen him, but yet we believe he's alive. We believe he's coming back, or we should. Don't you want to get out of that pit you're in and make it to the palace? Amen. Listen, we all know that, you know, the king had the dream. Let let me drop down to 41 and 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and then according to thy word shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And listen, this I liken this into Jesus Christ coming back and taking us saints home. Amen. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Let me ask us tonight. I heard somebody preach once before. I think it was Brother Todd Smith. He preached, when you're tired of something, you'll change. I forget how he said it, but if you're tired of being in the mud, you'll get out of the mud. Amen. You ever go walking through the woods and you step? It's not really mud, or you think it ain't mud, but when you step in, it's that old black gooey stuff, and it begins to stink. And I thought when, who'd I tell you, what, Jeremiah was thrown in the pit, and he sunk in the mire up to his knee, what it must have smelt like. And the Bible says we're as a stink in God's nostrils for us to do the things of the world. That's just putting it in my own way. When will we get tired of being in the pit? When will we get tired of being in the same old rut we're in? When, Brother Hurst, will we get tired of the devil bullying us and pushing us around? Church, my heart is heavy for this world that we're living in. My heart is heavy for those families that ISIS has cut their necks off. Even though, come, Lord, quickly. Let's all stand. I've done my best tonight to speak to you from pit to palace. From pit to palace. Every eye closed and every head bowed, no one looking around. And I just want you to think tonight, young folks, especially the young folks, what about that pit that you may be in? What about that temptation that's pulling you away from the grasp of God? What about that trial that seems like you can't get out of? What about tonight leaving that pit and start that road to the palace? What about tonight calling on Jesus to help us to have a better desire to go to the house of God? What about calling on the Holy Ghost tonight? Come in and fill us up to overflow, baptize us. What about getting on fire for God tonight? I've often said this, today is the first day of the rest of your lives. How do you want to live it? Are you tired of the pit? I am. I'm tired of the pit. I'm tired of the people being in the pit. I'm tired of the devil, period. I wish I had the words to encourage you tonight, but the only thing I can do is give you the word of God. If the word of God can't get you, there ain't nothing I can say that can. Amen. Even though, come, Lord, quickly.
I'll tell you what tonight. Why don't we just do an all church altar call? Why don't we just fall in the altars? I'll tell you what. If you don't want it, you tell them to give it to Brother Cruz. You tell them to give it to Brother Hers. You tell them to give it to Sister Cruz, Sister Rose. We want all we can get tonight. How about it? You want to make the trip to the palace? I do. From Pitt, the palace. I wonder what Joseph thought, hey, when they throw the rope in there in the beginning, hey, I've been set free. I'm about to get out of this pit. Only to try to get knocked back down by the devil, amen. Joseph came forth victorious. What about you? What about you? Let's find another place to pray tonight. Come on, church. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we praise your holy name tonight. Amen.